Our morning scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 14, 13, 21. Matthew 14, 13 to 21. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowd learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There is no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them and broke the loaves apart and gave them to his disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowd. Everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. About 5,000 men plus women and children had eaten. The word of God for the people of God.
Him. I try not, I personally, when I'm picking hymns, I keep a database of hymns, and I record for each week. I'll put a little checkbox in, so it'll tell me in the database how many times I've played a certain hymn, how many times I've selected it, and when the last time was, right? So I know, so I don't, but this one, you're just going to get this one all the time. Because this one, it's the ultimate Wesleyan hymn. It's phenomenal. Anyway, that is neither here nor there, because Jesus was a rock star. I went through a few titles for this sermon. One of the hard parts about trying to get the bulletin ready early enough in the week that everybody else can do the stuff they need to do with knowing what the scripture is and all. One of the hard parts about trying to get the bulletin ready early in the week is that I have to put a name on my sermon before I write it. Sometimes before I've even finished studying. And sometimes what comes out in the end doesn't really match the title. This particular sermon started life called 5,000. I figured I can make that work with anything. But then I was talking about feeding the 5,000, and I decided we were probably going to be talking about hunger, and so I provisionally changed the title to "I Am So Hungry." Because we'd be talking about feeding the body and the soul, feeding the hunger of the body and the hunger of the soul. But this particular scripture, we pastor folk don't want to mess this one up. Because this story is an important story. It's a foundational story. You can tell it is, because this is the only miracle, aside from the resurrection, to appear in all 4 Gospels. It's the only one. And that's gotta mean something. I mean, that seems strange. There are other stories that appear in all 4 Gospels, you know, Peter naming Jesus the Messiah, the triumphant entry to Jerusalem, betrayal, obviously the crucifixion. But this is the only non-resurrection miracle to appear in all 4 Gospels. So we know that it's important, and it centers on food. Except I don't really think it does center on food. Like, food is an important part of the story. It's a significant vehicle for the event. But I don't actually think this story is about the food. So, I went to a concert last Sunday. It's the first time I've been to a concert since before the pandemic. It's the first time I've been around a crowd like that since well before the pandemic. I didn't even think crowds like this were supposed to exist anymore. Now there's. How are you doing? Crowd respond to that? Did you hear the crowd respond when he yelled out, "How are we doing?" And everyone just said, "Yeah." The band was Matchbox 20. They made a name for themselves in the late 90s. A few of their songs I liked quite a bit, and they were on my main stage and my karaoke repertoire. I really liked the band. And there were a lot of people there. There were a whole lot of people there. And when Rob Thomas, the lead singer, called out, "How are we doing?" the whole crowd responded. I don't think you could get the full effect from, you know, the iPhone recording, but it was impressive. It was a concert. It was fun, and everybody was jamming. But before the concert, right, to be at a concert, before the concert, you have to go there, right? We had to get there, had to wait in line, I had to wait out the opening act. I don't know who the opening act was. I don't know what the name of the band was, but they were good and they were fine. It was enjoyable, but they weren't who I was there to see. Had to find a place to stand. The Saratoga Performing Arts Center, SPAC, you know, it's got 20,000 seats, but it's got standing room on the lawn for another 25,000 people. Now, I didn't, you know, have a clicker and do a personal head count, but that place was full. There must have been 40, 45,000 people in that venue. And every one of us had to get there. We had to wait in line. We had to listen to the opening act. We had to find a place to stand or sit. All of that before we heard what we came for. And that reminded me of this. Of that. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew into a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed on foot from the cities. So they got there, right? And they must have been speaking to the disciples because the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Hey, these people are hungry." And evidently they reported a general lack of food because he knew they didn't have any. And so he told Jesus, "You need to send them all away so they can go buy food." The disciples, they were kind of like the opening band, right? They had a good beat and you can dance to them, but they're not who everyone came to see. And so there they were. They'd found their place around Jesus, you know, standing on the lawn, if you will, and they waited for what they came to hear. And Jesus didn't disappoint. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them, and he healed those who were sick. Jesus never disappointed. Matchbox 20 didn't disappoint either, actually. They sounded so good. It wasn't like they were 20 years ago, like kids just, it sounded like they were the 20 years ago kids releasing their first album. Like Jesus, they gave the crowd what they wanted. Even when they messed up, like in this clip, about 14 seconds into this clip, Rob Thomas cracks himself up and has to stop singing for a second.
And the clock on the wall has been stuck out ready for days and days and days.
Crowd singing. There it goes. Can you hear the crowd singing? Everybody just getting into it. So often when we talk about the story, we use this story as a vehicle to talk about communion, which the meal that we're going to share again today. After all, Jesus fed the masses, and Jesus feeds all of us. And the walk to Emmaus included a revelation of Christ and the breaking of bread. And this story also includes bread. And the upper room stories, they include bread. But so much of the early communion experience was actually fish as well, right? So we recognize that. We recognize the fish as a symbol of Christianity. They call this the Jesus fish. And it's been a symbol of Christianity for hundreds and hundreds of years. So sometimes we hear this story, and we do gravitate to communion, to, you know, I am so hungry, and I need to be fed both body and soul. Sometimes we hear the story, and we focus about Jesus deliberately withdrawing, that Jesus had had a terrible emotional experience, and he needed some time on his own, and so he withdrew to a place to be alone. But the crowd, they followed him, and Jesus saw the crowd and was compassionate and chose to prioritize them over himself. And we talk about that as an understanding of what it means to sacrifice for one another as neighbors and sisters and brothers in Christ. But today I want to focus on this. Here, I know it's hard to hear, but everybody's that was Matchbox 20 covering Simple Minds' Don't You Forget About Me as their second encore, and they rocked that. But you could hear in the song and with 3 a.m. before, and in the very beginning when he said, "How you doing?" and the crowd responded, could you hear how the crowd was getting into it? How they were singing and they were dancing and they were raising their voices in joy. Could you hear the energy? Not just from the band, but from the people who came to see them and who saw exactly what they came to see and more, who heard exactly what they came to hear and more. These guys are rock stars, and probably 40,000 people came to hear them, and every one of them was drawn into it. Every one of us, in some essence, became part of the performance by the very fact of our presence, our movement, our shouting, and our singing. Now, we talk about the feeding of the 5,000, but Scripture literally tells us about 5,000 men plus women and children had eaten. So what, maybe 10,000? Maybe 15,000? How many people were there on the lakeside coming to see Jesus, coming to experience Jesus, hear what he had to say? They weren't just there. They weren't just around. They were part of it. Not just the crowd, but the ministry. They were part of the concert. They were part of the show, because they all came to this deserted place to see this rock star rabbi, to hear what he had to say, to see what he could do, and they were not disappointed. In the end, when they were hungry, rather than sending away, Jesus doubled down on their right to be part of everything that was going on by not even by feeding him, but by accepting what they brought to the party, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, by accepting what they brought, and by the grace of God, letting what they brought be enough. Letting what they brought, as meager as it was, be enough. Jesus was a rock star. And like all good rock stars, he received those who came to see him with patience and compassion and love. He took what they had to give him, the meager food, yes, but also their devotion, their faith in him, and he gave it back to them multiplied, overflowing, more than they could possibly take in. And you think the crowd got into it? Huh? As a matter of fact, it's funny, you could hear the crowd.
I don't know why you couldn't just stay with me. You couldn't stand up in near me when my face don't seem to want to shine.
What do you think the crowd at a Jesus rally did? What do you think happened when the disciples came out with more fish and bread than they could ever possibly eat? You think they sat there stoically on the ground, you know, ate gently and daintily and just, you know, sat there? Or do you think they got up and they danced and they jumped around and they sang out at the top of their lungs for their love for this young man who taught them and fed them and healed them, but most of all, who loved them like no one had ever loved them before? I think they danced. I think they came to hear and see this rock star Jesus, and they danced. Yes, they shared the meal, the feeding of the 5,000. It's incredibly important to our faith. And so we talk about the meal and how much they ate and how full they got and how much was left over. But I think the people there surrounding Jesus, eating that glorious meal, I think they sang and I think they danced. And the leftovers are important too. I left the concert and I shared a few of the leftovers I had with the concert with you there this morning, but meager as they might have been, standing on the lawn with a 2-generation-old iPhone. But some of you may recognize some of the songs, or maybe they call to mind concerts you've been to, and you're starting to hear songs that you've heard perform live and in person, and you're going to walk out of here maybe singing or humming or dancing even, or feeling what you felt when you've experienced that kind of environment. And you can bet that those people there on the lakeshore, that 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, you can bet that they ate their fill and they heard their fill and they left that place, maybe not full of music and rhythm, maybe not full of dancing like we might be leaving this place today, but full of words of grace and love and hands full of meals to share and a heart full of love overflowing. They left that place and they shared with everyone that this rock star, Jesus, is the one whose love will and has and will continue to save the world, to save all of us, to save you and to save me. And they became part of that party simply by choosing to participate, simply by following this rock star, Jesus, who invited them to be not just bystanders, not just observers, but participants in that meal of love. They became part of the party and they invited others to join as well. Because one thing that we know and one thing that we celebrate every time we remember all of the holy meals that Jesus shared and the holy celebrations he hosted is that everyone is welcome to this party. No one is ever shut out. No one is ever turned away. This party, this music, this show is open for all of us to participate simply because we're here following this rock star Jesus, even if it's only for this day and this hour, simply because we are here following Jesus and singing his songs as he sings along with us. Amen? As we prepare to come to this table, let's sing number 618, Let Us Break Bread Together.